Welcome to episode 588 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Anna, and Donna. Opened in 2016, Shanghai Disneyland is the first Disneyland in mainland China. It is both distinctly Chinese and authentically Disney, providing a high-quality, immersive storytelling experience that is tailored to local preferences and showcasing cultural elements. This next-generation park utilizes advanced technology in its attractions, breathing new life into characters and stories that we all know and love. Recently, Donna and Lindsay had the opportunity to explore the largest Disneyland in the world, and they are here to share what they learned. So let's get started. I'm so jealous.
I know.
It was such a cool experience that I just keep, whenever I think about this, I think about it like it was a dream. Like, did that really happen?
Yeah, because, well, I mean, full disclosure, this was a trip that you did, like, a lot of Disney parks. So, yeah. Did they start to blend together, or you still have a good...
A little bit, but they each had such unique features that's kind of what stands out. So I'm assuming that even, you know, months later going over this now in my mind, some things are probably going to blend together if they were very similar to the other parks. But what is forefront are the things that are like, that are truly unique to that park. And I think that's the same for every single park I visited.
I didn't realize it was so big. So how, like, compare it to something, a park I would know.
I guess some of the, you know, like that the Disney magic, Disney nostalgia is created so that you always feel like it's familiar, right?
Right. So how does it compare in size to one of the parks?
Oh, so it's much, much larger. I mean, we're talking lots and lots of walking to get from one end to the other because it's built to accommodate larger crowds. So there's a lot more green space. And there's like there's a 100-acre lake.
Wow.
So just to give you kind of an idea, this is very, very big. And I remember, Donna, correct me wrong if I'm misremembering this, but I just remember it felt like we were walking for a day to get to the entrance of the park.
Well, it really did for like from the parking lot to get to the front entrance. Because they dropped us off and it wasn't even like the full parking lot. That was like, there were some escalators that went up. Then you went across a bridge that basically crossed, you know, several lanes of traffic. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the, I guess, downtown Disney area where it's like the shopping and kind of like Disney Springs and everything. You got to walk through there to get to the other side. That's where the gate is. And then you get into the park. It actually is, I mean, it was probably a good football field size to get from the parking lot to the front gate.
Yeah, at least that much. I mean, we probably should have like timed the walk, but the downtown.
But it was a good 20 minutes.
And the downtown area looked very cute. Unfortunately, we didn't get to explore it because we spent all our time in the park. But there is a giant, you know, the rubber ducky of Donald Duck, that chick. Yeah. There's a giant inflatable Donald Duck in the downtown area right next to it. It's so cute.
That's so cute.
And then I think they have the biggest Disney store in the world, too. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think that...
World of Disney, I believe you're right.
So, were you able to... Do you feel like you did it all in one day?
Let me roll it back. I feel like we did all of the attractions.
Okay.
But I definitely... Like, we didn't go to the Wishing Star Park, which I don't even really know what that is. because there's nothing online about what it is. I'm assuming it's just a recreational area. And we didn't get to explore the downtown area. Mm-hmm. So I think this definitely, if you have the time to make it multiple days, you could do 2 days. But if you're just going to do the rides, I think you, like we did the Premier Pass, you can get it done in one day.
Yep.
Okay.
And that was the other thing. So we left the park, and I would have liked to have gone into the big World of Disney store.
Mm-hmm.
It shut down the same time the park did.
Ooh.
So it doesn't catch those people like leaving the park.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I think
the shoppers that we are.
I think the biggest culture shock for Americans, and calling us out in specifically, going to the Asian parks is that their commitment to their employees have a family life and a family to get home to. And when it is time to close the park, they're closing things down an hour before. Like, those kiosks are closing. Everybody's leaving. Yes. Everybody's clocking out and going out at the same time because they've got to catch public transportation. They've got, you know, there's a whole system in place. And this is something that I did notice throughout all of the parks that I went to on this particular trip. But yeah.
Yeah, so, there's no lingering.
Yes, there's no lingering. So if you want to experience those aspects, I really think having a couple days, and then you can break it up and then maybe go do your lunch in the downtown area, because it's literally right there. You're just walking out and then walk back in. But yeah.
So there's no grabbing a churro 5 minutes before the park closes.
Oh no, all the little things are closed.
Yeah,
we love to get that last minute snack to eat as we're walking
on the way out. Yeah.
I think I ran back to get, I wanted this Donald. This sun, so they have this, they have little, I don't know what you call, like the souvenir things when you get snacks. And so one of them was a gondola with Donald, and they like the spoon was the oar. And it's so cheesy.
Aww,
I wanted one. It was one of the first things I saw when I was researching food. I wanted one really bad, but I just got so wrapped up in the park. I forgot to grab one all day. And then right before we were supposed to watch the fireworks, I ran back and got one. And I was literally the last person, I think, to get a snack before they shut it all down. They were like, nope. Wow. So everything shut down, and then the fireworks, and then it's time for everyone to leave.
That's cool. So I remember seeing like a model of Shanghai Disney at, I think it was Epcot,
yeah,
the China Pavilion. So this one's really different, right? Is this the one that doesn't really have a castle, or does
no? It's got a great castle. Their castle is the largest castle. So it's the largest footprint per park.
So I'm thinking of something different then.
it's larger than the castle in
Much Orlando. Much bigger. And it is, and you can walk through it. Not only is there a walkthrough attraction, you can explore the inside. There are these beautiful mosaics to several of the princesses, Rapunzel, Merida, Mulan, and Tiana, I think, are the ones that have their own mosaics. Am I saying that right? Mosaics, not mosaics. Mosaics. And then throughout the whole castle are these beautiful little touches, like stone. I'm just going to call it stone because it looks like stone, but it might be plastic. Who knows? But these stone carved features of like Aurora and Snow White and the rest of the princesses. So this castle isn't owned by one princess. It's really kind of a family of princesses live in this castle. And there's a walkthrough and then also a boat ride that goes kind of like under the castle garden area there.
Okay, cool. So what's different? Like, what's some of the things that are unique to this park that you won't find anywhere else?
The most amazing Pirates of the Caribbean experience
really?
Ever. Donna, is that like rum wrong?
It was all based on Davy Jones.
Okay.
So it was projections. It was you were actually going into some of the sets and things like that. It wasn't quite as. It was a lot of projection in CGI.
And you're kind of moving through the story. So yes. The battle, you're yes. in the battle. And there's cannon fire going over you. And you're just kind of really, it's like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride on steroids. I know that's very generic to say it that way. But it's one of those immersive ride experiences.
Yeah, you're sinking down to the bottom of the ocean and going through the, through the water and all. So,
that sounds cool. That sounds yes. really cool.
Yes,
nice. And
one of the other things I saw was it also had the Frozen Land.
Mm-hmm. World of Frozen.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. So you actually could walk into Arendelle.
Nice.
And, yeah, and this is
it. Really was.
This is something that you can also do similarly at one of the other parks currently, and then they're building in Paris. This is one of the additions they're putting on. Mm-hmm. But right. I do want to note that each one of these Frozen rides is completely different in the level of technology and the experience that you have. Okay. So it's not like a cookie cutter.
Yeah.
They didn't just get all take the exact same ride and plop yeah. them down in, you know, different yeah. parts.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw they're even changing up the one in Epcot to like kind of make the animatronics less creepy.
Yes, and we
they were definitely less creepy in China.
Well, the animatronics are so advanced in mm-hmm. in these parks that they're eons ahead of what we've got the technology for right now in Disney World. And that really comes across even in the rides that are more familiar to us or might be more familiar to us. You can really tell in the movement of the characters and their facial expressions and features and the way that it flows is just, it's a much smoother experience. And then I think we buried the lead because the biggest difference is they have Zootopia.
Like the whole Zootopia?
There's like
all the different...
There's like a whole land that's Zootopia. Yes. And it's so well themed. You could probably spend a day going around and reading all the... One of the things that I know you guys probably loved about the Muppet area was like the theming and how the little jokes were all around. Jim Henson went through and put all the details of the funny things on the pipes and everything. Zootopia kind of reminded me of that because there were movie posters that were puns and there are just the artwork and you're in the city. You're in Zootopia and the concert's going on and it really ties in with the ride. I think that whole area was very well done. The ride was great. It wasn't my favorite Disney ride, but it was, I think it does live up to the hype and I can't wait to see them expand that Zootopia world to the other parks, especially if they bring in this level of attention to detail, that they showcase in Shanghai and people like the locals that have, we actually met, one of the local guides or friends of the guide that we were with on the tour previous to our visit to Shanghai Disney she's like, oh, I have an annual pass and I go and you have to go to Zoo. And people go just to hang out in that part of the park. So that's cool.
I could see myself doing
and it's the section you want to go like as soon as you get in. You want to go right there because it's when it fills up to capacity, they will close that area off for the rest of the day. So you can't go back in.
Wow, that's crazy. So was it really crowded when you guys
went? No. I mean, it might have been, but it didn't feel like it because it was so big.
Yeah. It was also the week after Golden Week, so people had already had their family vacations, and so they had to go back to work, but we didn't.
But we weren't.
This is work for you, so this is like research. All right, cool. So I'm looking at like the different stuff you have listed out here, but I do want to ask, I don't see it yet. Is there a Space Mountain here?
No.
Okay. I was just going to compare the Space Mountain to Paris, my favorite, but okay.
Paris is my favorite Space Mountain too.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, all right. So biggest park, talk about the cultural integration. How did it, I mean, I understand that it's going to feel Chinese, but how did it feel navigating it? Did it feel like it was easy for an American to navigate it?
This was probably one of my biggest concerns over the years being a Disney fan. I was like, would the magic still come across if I couldn't understand the language? And I personally, I didn't feel like there was, maybe it's because I know these stories so well, or we are so familiar with these characters, that I don't think there was a disconnect in the joy or the enjoyment of this park because of a language barrier. They do, it's mostly, everything's mostly in Mandarin, but a lot of the signs and like the jokes, the puns are all in English on the signs, okay, as well as in Mandarin. And I like that the cast member only areas, all of them are themed and they all say funny things that relate to the area, like only lions can go here, or only, you know, like the theming is super consistent. And I think they do a really good job of, even though the words spoken in the shows or the songs might be sung in native language, it's still very accessible to people who do not speak. And they had, in Mickey's Storybook Adventure, they had subtitles that went across.
Okay.
And I will say, the Mickey Storybook Adventure show is phenomenal. It's like Broadway style show. There is also very similar, it's the same name of the show, but the show is a little bit different in Hong Kong. And this show is actually in several of the Disney parks, but I think Shanghai, I want to say my little personal opinion is that that's the best one. The talent was incredible. The princess selection is different in each one of these shows. So the princesses they showcase were different in Shanghai versus Hong Kong during the show. Mm-hmm. And they were just some of the most talented singers that I've ever seen on stage. And that's not...
So how are they... where were the subtitles if it was like...
So there's little screens on the side up to the side of the stage that have the subtitles. And that was something that I did feel was really kind, like a general theme throughout all the shows we did see in China. There were some screens that had translations in English for people. It was very courteous to do, okay, to knowledge that you might have some people. And I think that, yeah, there wasn't the disconnect that I was kind of expecting.
So I have a question about like navigating the parks though. I mean, is there an app like we use in Disneyland or Disney World here in the United States?
Yes.
Well, it's interesting.
Is it easy about to that use? And
because the tickets are on the app.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Everything is on the app. You have to order on the app. You have to, everything has to be
through the app. If your app isn't working, you're not going to have a good day.
You're out of luck.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that kind of helped us, and even though it wasn't as busy as it could have been, I'm still glad we did it, was the package that we purchased with our ticket, yes, to get the guarantee to go on the more popular rides. I still, hands down, even if you get it and you get there and you're like, oh, I didn't need this, I still always will die on the hill. If you only have one day, it's totally worth it to make sure you get to do everything you want to do. Because the amount of sadness I would have felt having only one day and getting there and not having this and having to waste your whole entire day in line, it just, yes, would not, it takes
so much time. So is it like adding a fast pass to your ticket or Lightning Lane or whatever?
It's a separate purchase. Yes. Well,
yeah, but it's for chunks of different rides. Yeah. So you could buy, like, there was like a couple of different tiers. So this one covers these rides, X, Y, Z, and these ones covered A, B, C, and X, Y, Z. And this one covered LMNOP, A, B, C, and X, Y, Z. Yeah. So, okay. So we bought the bigger pass that basically covered, mm-hmm, everything. Only thing better we could have done is do a VIP tour, but honestly, I didn't want to spend that kind of money.
And I don't think if we'd had more people with us, VIP would have made sense. But for two people,
yes,
it didn't make sense. We weren't going during a holiday, like on a holiday. Mm-hmm. I think if you know ahead of time that the time you're going to be there is super busy, a VIP tour would definitely make sense. But for us, it just didn't. Mm-hmm. And we got reserved spaces for the parades, which I did take advantage of.
That's cool.
They rope off the sides, and you're only allowed in there if you have the...
And was that was included in that package that you bought?
And reserved seating for the fireworks, which is totally worth it because you're right up.
Very cool.
And you can see all the projections on the castle. You don't have to fight.
But it's not the same reserved seating that... we're used to, like, you know, on the Skyland Terrace, if you're doing the dessert party or something, there's no chairs.
Yeah, there are no chairs. And unlike...
And you're sitting on the floor, and it's like, you have a little tiny bit of space, and they expect you to sit crisscross applesauce, you know.
Yeah, and I know...
And not take up much space. Not,
yeah, you they really... I mean, everyone's very courteous to keep in their little area. And it's a little bit different. There are... Like in Tokyo, with the reserve space, there were little numbers on the ground. And there was like a box that outlined your area. This wasn't. There was a place for you to be, and you're lined up here. And then the people that come in after are lined in front of you, and so on. But it's just a reserved area.
Okay.
You weren't purchasing a specific number or specific place. Sorry, I explained that.
So, is it worth it? Worth it to stick around for the fireworks?
Yes, definitely.
Yes,
I was.
I don't think I would probably do the reserve seating again because I had a great bench, you know. Yeah. And Ben is like, "Oh no, I need to go," and I've got to. But I had a bench, and it was like I was further back, but you know. I had a seat.
That's the other thing about these parks is there are so many more places to sit, benches, public benches, just lining everywhere. I think this is probably an aspect of culture there, that the having the space for people of a certain age to rest, or having it's very prominent in the design of these parks. And I think this park in particular, because it has so much space, it allows for them to do that.
Did you go into the Chip 'n Dale store?
I did. At the end of the night, I was looking for some things for a friend of mine who is the biggest Chip 'n Dale fan, and it was so neat to see an entire store dedicated to them. There's a lot of Chip 'n Dale love here. Oh, I should also mention, the Fab Five here are not, it's not the driving force. It's Duffy and his friends are the rock stars.
Yeah.
They're at the end of every parade. The lines, the long, like there could be a 20 minute wait for something else. And all day long, there was a 2-3 hour wait for Lena Bell to meet Duffy's little fox friend. And so there are characters here.
Oh, that, okay. So I was like, wait, is that his girlfriend? Wait,
no. Duffy's friend that's a fox. And you can only really find her in Shanghai, Hong Kong, and Tokyo. There's not nothing in the U.S. so far that I've seen. But this park does have a character that is specific for Shanghai, and that's Cookie Lee. Is it Cookie or Cookie? I think Cookie Lee.
I think it's Cookie Lee.
She's a little dog, and she's one of Duffy's friends, and she's a baker. And so she has her own bakery on Mickey Avenue. And there's also no Main Street. It's Mickey Avenue.
Yeah, I was looking at that in your show notes. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'm so used to Main Street.
I mean, why would they have a Main Street USA?
Well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, one of the biggest things I noticed also is that, so we're kind of obsessed with all the clothing. And so if you go to the parks here in the U.S. or other places, you're going to find sweatshirts and t-shirts and you name it, you
know.
Spirit jerseys, exactly.
Yeah. They want you to walk out of there walking advertisement.
Yeah, right? Well, there it's all tchotchke. It's little tiny stuffed animals to hang on your backpack and pins and magnets, and it's all tchotchke stuff, not clothing.
Yeah, I came home with the worst addiction to little bag charm animals from this trip.
So do they have the same lounge fly obsession that apparently the United States has with the little
No, backpacks? They have their own unique backpacks. There was one that was like Donald Duck's butt. Donald Duck's birthday, and there was like the Lucifer the cat. There's some very unique.
There were a lot of Zootopia things as well.
Tons of Zootopia merch, tons of Chip 'n Dale stuff. What else did they have a lot of that was surprising?
They didn't have as many snacks either.
Yeah,
you're not going to find a bunch of, you know, prepackaged snacks there.
So talk about the food a little bit. How was the food there?
Well, we had I remember eating
Winnie the Pooh pizza that was shaped like Pooh Bear.
Winnie the Pooh pizza. Oh. Had a little Lena Bell shaped ice cream bar. I think. Didn't we have a bow bun there that was Mickey's hand?
Yeah, it was. So it had a bow bun. It was a barbecue sandwich. So it was pork barbecue sandwich with barbecue sauce, but then it had a bun, and it was a black bun. And it was shaped like Mickey's hand.
I had a black bun at not a Disney park. It was I won't mention which park, but it was not a Disney park.
I know exactly what you're
But talking. I did have a black bun, and it weirded me out, but it
was... Yeah. It weirded me out later. Yeah.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Not as much because you had given me a little heads up warning.
You're like, whoa.
But still, I was like, ooh, she was serious. Okay.
So, but they also, I found the cutest thing. So I cannot do the Mickey ears. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of them, but I can't wear them because they give me headaches. Mm-hmm. And also, I need the shade. So I found a hat, a ball cap that had Maleficent horns.
It's really cute.
Fun.
And I was like, I'm buying that right now. And it was right as we got into the park, and we were in the Shipwreck Cove area. So
we should probably mention too that we were there around Halloween time, and the park was so adorably decorated for Halloween with all the characters and everything. And the technology, like when we say it's more technologically advanced, it's not just in the rides. Like the signs that they had were little holographic ghosts doing things. Or the characters acting out like little animated things. But if you try to take a picture of it, it doesn't come out because it's a screen. It's a light projection. I think they really utilize those simple magic tricks very well throughout the park.
And they also don't have a haunted mansion. The Chinese have things about spirits and all, so they don't have a haunted mansion, but they did have they had a dinner with Jack Skellington and the Nightmare on Nightmare cast. Yeah. So
okay,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And
so they don't even have anything similar like the Freaky Manor or whatever that
one's no called. That's at the other park, is Phantom Manor. Andy's backyard game. There's like a Toy Story area, but it is more like carnival games.
So kind of like Pixar Pier.
Yeah. And then they have some of the similar rides that they have in Paris in the Toy Story section. Like And then there's a really cool Pixar walkthrough exhibit. That's one thing I wanted to mention. One of the things I noticed was there were a lot of interactive things for families to do. So, like in the garden area, when you get through, you can go and stand underneath the Mad Hatter's hat in the Alice in Wonderland area for pictures.
Instagrammable pictures.
A lot of picture opportunities throughout this park, throughout all of the parks in Asia, but this one in particular. And then the Inside Out area was indoor walkthrough, and each room was a different scene. Like you walked through Carl's house from up, and you could sit down in the chair next to him.
I love that.
Yeah, you get your pictures taken in the control room for the emotions for Inside Out. And I have the cutest pictures from this area. And there were so many families in there, and the kids were just having a blast. And a lot of this stuff was interactive. And then even at the end, you go through this really dark area at first, and you're like, what is this? And it's Soul. And so the animated characters come to life, and they're on the walls around you. And it was just a very great use of space. That was over by Tron.
Is the Tron exactly that? Like
exactly the same.
Okay.
Yes.
Although Donna, would you say you're like, this feels more real with the Mandarin?
It actually did. It also reminded me of like Blade Runner. So it had, it actually looked a little bit more authentic as far as that. So it did better with the Chinese characters.
Is there anything you want to mention before we wrap it up? Anything we forgot to talk about?
I'm sure there's tons. Just like every other podcast.
To be continued.
Well, one thing is that you have to have your passport with you. One of the things about being in China is that everything you do is based on your passport and your passport picture. So you have to carry it with you all the time. The same thing was true. So like the app, it showed we had tickets, but it didn't actually do anything until we actually got to the gate and scanned our passports that we could actually see them and access all the things on the app.
Interesting.
It was very frustrating on the app because we don't have a Chinese phone number. Also,
yeah.
So just go into it knowing that, you know, the app is a mess until you get in the park, and then it works. Everything works like it's supposed to.
And you want to be there super early. I know this is painful for Donna. I drove her crazy at both of the parks, making sure. But it's for a reason, because I, in researching this trip, and I did a lot of research about these parks before we went. So many horror stories about the technology not working right, and then now you can't get into Zootopia area, or you can't do this, you can't do that. So getting ahead of it and really kind of trying to familiarize yourself with what could go wrong, making sure your credit card is linked up, that's the other thing, purchasing the tickets directly.
Because they do not take cash anywhere.
Yeah, there's no cash, and it's but once you set yourself up for success, once we got there, we didn't have any, after we were in the park, we didn't have any issues. Thank goodness.
Yeah. But yeah, Lindsay was kind of freaking out the tickets aren't there. I can't see the tickets. Yeah. And I'm like, they're here. I see them.
No,
but she couldn't see
them. And that's the thing, is that you are, and if it doesn't show up and they can't scan you, you can't get in. You've got to scan into all of these rides.
Yeah, that would make me.
But I had her name. Yeah. But that's the thing, is that like a family, it only goes on one person's app.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Because this park is set up.
Unless she bought them separately.
Yeah, this park is set up for families. It's not really set up for, we're used to, let's just all go and we all have our own stuff on our.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Are you not able to do that?
No, everything is.
If the four of us are going together to,
you need to buy your own. If you really want to have control, you have to buy your tickets completely separately.
But
and then you would have that separate capability.
Then the problem is trying to match up your return times for things. If you buy like the package that we bought, if we were all buy that, let's all four of us go. We all buy it separately. The problem you're going to have is trying to get your reserved stuff in the times or no,
people.
Shows.
You'll have 11:30. I have 12. She has one. Yeah.
So it is really best for this park, and I would say for Hong Kong as well, if you have one person from your party doing kind of all of this, but then you already have to know going in, you're going to all want to do the same things, or it just kind of makes it just a little bit, it doesn't make it more complicated. It just makes it different than how we,
that's good.
So, but good overall, I mean, I was super impressed with the shows, the cast member, everyone was super friendly.
And it's awesome. It's also less expensive.
Yes.
So if you're gonna do a Disney trip, you're probably gonna spend the same amount of money flying across the ocean, going to all the things, and going into the parks than you would staying at Disney World.
Okay. Now, caveat. When she says less expensive, we are talking about less expensive to go to the park. not less expensive to buy things in the park. I think this is one of the most expensive souvenirs. Hmm. This is why there's a lot of like these keychain animals were $20.
But food was very inexpensive as well.
the equivalent of $20 or $30 for some keychains. Tiny little. But everything else, the food was very affordable.
The tickets.
Getting into the park, the tickets were very affordable. Even the add-on experiences, I think, to pay. I think we've paid more for a lot less at Disney World.
Yeah, I think it was about $200 for us to get the premier passes with the entrance. So for an extra $100, we got lightning lanes all day long.
Was that $200 total? So it was $100 a piece. Okay,
$200 each.
Oh, it's $200 each. Okay,
yes, gotcha. But I mean, right now you go to Disney, it's $100 to go, and that doesn't get you. And then you have to buy lightning lanes. And
this is all Disney math, y'all.
This is where you have to be in your emotions when you're doing this math.
Exactly.
You have to be like, how much does magic really worth to you?
All right. Well,
can you put a price on happiness?
My husband can.
Yeah.
He will totally put a price on happiness.
All right. On that note, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Anna, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.